And 51551 is our text number. It's a glorious day here in Dublin, at least, and I think it is across the country. So walking tours are a relatively recent phenomenon in the capital and other cities, but there's a newer development that is free walking tours of the capital. Colm Quilligan is with the Dublin Literary Pub Crawl. So yours is a pay walking tour, isn't that correct, Colm?
Yes, it is. It's done by professional actors who talk about the pub, the poet and the pint, and it's been running for about 26 years here in Dublin.
And what do you think of the new free walking tours?
Well, I mean, I don't work for free, Joe. I mean, do you?
What do you think of the free walking tours?
Well, I don't really agree with the whole concept of free. And they say that that group say that they're providing a marketing service for freelance guides and that they charge for that. Mm. And my question is that why then is there a master-servant relationship with the free guides and that company? I mean, there's managerial control from that German company. The reps from Sandy Mount, they stand there at Dublin City Council land and Dublin City Hall right beside the hall there, and they control the entry point of the tour, and you can see them there with their clipboards asking questions, customers, which hostel do they come from, and so on. So they say that the guides are self-employed, but so why are these guides being managed and controlled at the starting point? If they're self-employed, then let them get on with it, I'd say.
Are they affecting your business, Colm?
Well, I mean, yeah, it does affect my business because of the whole concept of free. Then they are also promoting, they spend time during their daytime tours promoting their evening pub crawls, and as a consequence of that, then the American kids who hear about the pub crawls in Dublin, they're expecting something free from us. So they come to the door, they buy a ticket for the literary pub crawl, and they ask me to buy them a free drink. So they've heard that drinks are included on these pub crawls. So when they buy a ticket from me and they're told that I'm not buying them a drink, they ask me for the money back and leave. So, I mean, to give them a free drink that I'd have to go to the public and say, here, give me that pint there for €1, and I'll include it in the price of the tour. And so it would be kind of under the counter, I'd say. Also, if I include it in our price, that means that I'm involved in dispensing alcohol. So
that doesn't arise at this stage. But, Colm, is it a free walking tour, yes or no, that they're offering, do you know?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask them. I mean, people are being asked to give money at the end, I guess.
Tips. Okay. David O'Kelly is chief executive of Sandyman's Tours. They do the free walking tours in a number of cities across Europe. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Hi, thanks for having me on.
And who gets paid in this, David?
The guides who we work with are indeed registered freelancers across the board in all 18 cities that we work in. In terms of the free walking tours and how they work, the guides work for tips alone. So any gratuity that is voluntarily given by the traveller to the guide takes place between the guide and the individual traveller. So the guides do get paid for their work. We do employ people in Dublin and across, again, all of our other 18 business units across Europe who perform different roles to the freelance guides. They're more responsible for the organisation of the start points of tours or actually the running of the pub crawls in the evening that we do as well.
And how is it free?
It's free because the traveller has absolute right to decide to give nothing as a gratuity. It's free because we believe that everyone, regardless of budget, should be able to see the great cities, including Dublin, that we as a marketing company promote.
If a traveller or visitor on one of your tours, the Sandyman's tours, if they decide not to give a tip for whatever reason, who loses the money?
Well, in that case, the guide would lose the money because there'd be no transaction between the guest, the traveller, and the tour guide.
So how much does a guide lose?
Well, the guide, you have to look at it on a, you can't look at it look at it on an individual traveller to tour guide basis. You have to look at it on a tour by tour basis. The average group size for one of our guides in Dublin at the moment is about 25 people per tour. Of course, it fluctuates depending on how many guides we have down there and how we split up the large amounts of guests that we see daily outside the city hall, and it fluctuates based on seasonality and weather and things like that. that, but the average group size is about 25 people. Now, naturally, were there to be any, which is very rare, but it's, of course, the traveller's right, were there to be any travellers who decided that the service was not worth tipping for, or not worth paying for, in their opinion, then the guide would lose out on an individual traveller.
And how does the guide...
These are always counterbalanced. Sorry, these are always counterbalanced by the vast, vast majority of people who do think that it's an excellent service and do choose to tip what they think that service was worth.
Because... And I was hoping you'd mention this. The guide plays you.
That's right.
If 20 people turn up before they go anywhere, that guide has to shell out €62.50 to your company.
It's a maximum of €2.50 in Dublin. It varies from guide to guide, and it certainly varies from city to city. But it's a maximum. We call it it's an acquisition fee, a marketing fee, if you like. They don't pay that. It's a maximum of €2.50 per traveller in Dublin at the moment. They would owe that to the company not before they start the tour. We sort of write them an invoice and collect it from them at the end. But you're right. It's interesting listening to the gentleman from the Literary Pub Crawl there.
Callum, yeah.
Who, you know, there was calling me out. There was, just quite a few things in there, I'm afraid, that were quite off base. But one of the things that he did mention was he sort of questioned the validity of the freelance relationship. Interestingly, this business risk that indeed our guides and our freelancers do have by having just as any individual business, any private trader, any general business, would have that normal sort of balance between the revenue that they receive and the costs that they give out, and that everyday entrepreneurial business risk of, having to make sure that your revenue outweighs your costs. If it doesn't, then it's obviously a model that doesn't work for you. But in my sort of 8 years working for the organization, I kind of remember a time when a guide would stop working with us based on economic reasons. Indeed, when we start a cooperation with a tour guide, we always say that the first three free tours that they perform with us are actually on us. So we don't charge a marketing fee for those free tours. We say to the guide, okay, see how you go. We think you're ready. You think you're ready. You've done all your individual training, preparation, etc. See how you get on in front of a group of 20 or 30 people without any business risk. Let us take that away from you. And after your three tours on us, take a look at the economics. And if it doesn't work for you, then you don't continue. But like I say, in my 8 years working,
it always works for Sandymans. You don't lose.
Well, we don't lose unless we don't do a good job at putting people on the individual guides as tours. In which case, we would do.
Once you advertise free walking tours, people are going to gravitate. Tommy Graham, historical walking tours of Dublin, 1986 established. Tommy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're listening to David there. What do you think of their business model?
Well. If I was cynical, I'd say I wish I thought of that. But no, seriously, I think it has several dangers for the operations of walking tours. The thing is that it is not free. Let's just scotch that one straight away. There's no such thing as a free lunch, as everyone knows. The point is that if the punter doesn't pay, the guide is out of pocket. And incidentally, the company takes a photograph at the start of each tour.
Oh, did they?
The tourists think this is a souvenir.
Correct, yep.
But in fact, it's so that the company can verify how many people went on the tour. So the guide has to fork out that money regardless of how many turn up. The thing is, myself and Colm, I presume, as well, we work on the basis that we offer the tours at a rate and then we pay our guides a rate. And, I've employed a number of people over the years, maybe to be five or six people over the summer working with me. Now, I took advice from my accountant and I asked them, could we pay our guides as freelancers? Because it would be much more flexible for me to do it that way. And his advice to me was, no, revenue would take a dim view of that. So as a result, I've taken his advice, and I have people on a payroll, a proper payroll, paying tax, paying VAT, every single penny. Now, I've no problem with competition. What I do have is unfair competition and business models, which in the long run will be negative to the overall business of tour guiding. The reason I say that is, I have my doubts about how many quality tour guides will work for those conditions, will work for tips. And inevitably, what's going to happen is the quality of the service is going to decline. And like everything else, it will be a race to the bottom, not only in terms of the conditions of employment of guides, but also in terms of the service offered to the clients.
The company's saying that they're using local expertise, but does that include national trained tour guides that have done the state exams and guided in a foreign language? Because that's the route you have to go to get the national certification in Ireland and the badge in Ireland. I mean, Tommy Graham is the editor of History Ireland and a lecturer in history. So that's the type of expertise that I'd like to see in front of me telling me the story about the garrison of the Saxons. It is a question of standards. You know, you have to have qualified people who've done the national course, for example. That is a good marker for what is quality
but,
in the city.
But Colm, I presume, David, when I ask you are they qualified, you'll tell me they are.
Yeah, absolutely. It depends what kind of qualification, you know, you're talking about.
Well, the state in Ireland has said that. The state in Ireland has got a qualification system, which I had to go through in 1991, and Tony Graham has gone through for sure.
Absolutely.
The thing is that vetting system is no longer in place. It's now redundant. There is no vetting for guides at the moment. I've got mixed views on that, right? I wasn't quite happy with the previous certification system. But the thing is, at least there was some sort of a system. At the moment, there is no system whatsoever. And what's now happened is other people are copying the Sandyman's business model. So we have a proliferation now of so-called free tours in the city, which are not free.
But David, who pays tax and VAT?
Yeah, sorry. Can I just come back, because there's just a few things that have been flying around that I'm afraid I need to come back on and take issue with. Just a few kind of just quite simple inaccuracies. We do take a photograph at the start of the free tour. That's not the control numbers. That's quite simply a photo that we load onto social media, which allows travellers to sort of tag them in their experience and help us, you know, sort of expand the, promote the brand online. We do have a, like I said, an employed meeting point manager who is employed by the company on PAYE, etc., does a completely different job from the guides, which is to welcome guests as they approach, answer any questions, and then to, you know, direct them to the individual freelancers who then take off and perform the tours themselves. In terms of the, you know, the validity of the relation, you know, of the relationship, the guides are free to choose the when they work, when they don't work, okay, how often they work.
Come back to money. Tax. Who pays tax on the income?
Both the guides do independently, as they are registered freelancers, and the company pays taxes on all the company on all the revenue that the company sees as well. And incidentally, we've also naturally, of course, sought legal advice and actually sat down with the revenue in 2009 to discuss this business model before our full rollout in Ireland. So there's nothing wrong from a sort of legal perspective about the business model in terms of taxation or
do you check that your guys are tax compliant?
We do not work with any freelancer who is not registered as a freelancer. So we do check that they are registered with the revenue. We don't check their individual tax declarations, just as I'm sure there's no one on this call who would be happy to share their own private economic affairs with anyone else publicly. I know I certainly wouldn't.
No, so just to be clear, Dave, what do you get off revenue? You're saying you get off the individuals, you get a tax compliance certificate, is it?
We check that they are fully registered, either freelancers or individual businesses or any other kind of business in Ireland. We check that they have that registration with the proper authorities.
Well, no, with who? With who?
Any with who? With the revenue. With the revenue. Before they start any cooperation with.
So what do I have to hand you?
I'm not familiar with the. I'd have to ask our HR department about that. I'm afraid I can pull it up
who pays the insurance?
We have our own company, limited liability insurance, and then the guides also have any kind of independent liability insurance that they choose to take out as well.
Why would they need independent insurance?
Well, they don't actually, but some of them choose to do so. But we have an umbrella insurance that covers freelancers and the and our employees. But some of the guides do choose to have their own insurance. That's again.
No, but does the insurance who covers insurance for the walkers?
That would be, like I say, we have an umbrella insurance which covers the individual freelance guides that we work with.
Yeah, they're the guides. That's the guides. Yeah, the guides and your employees. Who insures? Who insures the walkers?
No, it includes the travellers as well.
Okay, and what does that insurance allow for?
I'm not familiar with the specifics of the insurance. It's your basic sort of civil limited liability insurance.
Colm, are you familiar with what insurance you need?
Yes, we would have public liability insurance. That'll be a standard for anyone operating in the public sphere, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. That's it that we have as well. Yeah,
there's a problem about insurance in the evening time for the pub crawls in the evening time because Irish insurance companies are running shy of insuring companies who are involved in pub crawls because the feeling is that there's an awful lot of heavy drinking going on them. In our case, on the Literary Pub Crawl, people buy their own drink as they go along. There's no drink included in the price because as far as we're concerned, as far as we understand it, with the law that we shouldn't include free drinks.
I know you said that earlier, Colin. But David, on how much are your pub tours in the evening?
I've got to come back on that. That was one of the sort of many inaccuracies.
There's no inaccuracies about what I've been saying. Sorry, there has no been. There's no inaccuracies.
I'm sorry, but we don't actually include a drink on our pub crawl. The drink specials are offered by the bars independently. All we offer is a sort of, a chaperone service and a sort of, social and educational, introduction to Dublin's nightlife and showing them what we believe to be sort of, the best places in Dublin. There's no drink included. There's certainly no drink given or sponsored or given out by us or any of our employees. It's quite simply a chaperone service between the best night spots in Dublin, and the bars independently offer their own special deals to our customers. We've also been in touch with the Advertising Standards Agency in Ireland as well, and are very careful with the promotion of our pub crawls to make sure that it doesn't promote excessive drinking. We avoid, photos involving alcohol and things like that. The pub crawl indeed is not a tour to get you drunk. It's something that's mentioned.
How much do you charge for a pub crawl?
It's €12.
And do any pubs pay you to come?
I'm not absolutely aware.
Well, in the 18 cities, it does happen.
We do take a commission, and like I say, that's for us choosing their particular pub to go to.
Why don't you just simply, David? Why don't Sandymans? Why do you not just simply employ tour guides?
Because it's not the standard in the industry. We're proud members of the European Tour Operators Association,
Sorry, I have to get in there, Joe.
Yeah, Tommy, come
Joe,
in then.
This is the problem here, right? And this is my main objection to this. This has cut a swathe through the tour guiding business of the major capitals of Europe. This model now has taken over, right? And stays the standard of the industry. No, that is correct, right? But that's what I'm worried about. It shouldn't be the standard of the industry. I think it's unethical, right? And I think it is bad for the business in the long run for the reasons I already outlined. And what's happening now is we're having the same proliferation of free tour guides all over the city, other companies apart from Sandymans. The model has been copied. Some of their former guides have broken away, in fact, and set up the so-called free guides. And again, I repeat, they are not free. There is nothing free in this life. Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid I just have to disagree. The tour is free, and if you'd like to come tomorrow on the tour and tip and choose to tip your guide, nothing, it'll prove it's free.
No, it's not free. If the punter doesn't pay, somebody else pays, right? Somebody has to pay at the end of the line, and you're being dishonest by saying otherwise, right? Somebody has to pay, whether it's the punter
somebody's
or the
squeezed.
Guide.
Yeah, totally. Somebody is being squeezed along the way down the line. So music is free, and that's wrecked the music business. Netflix wrecked the film business. You cannot argue with free. That's the difficulty with all of this. If you put the word free there, all the younger people who come along to the tours in Dublin, they see the word free and they don't, they just, that's the only thing they focus on. It doesn't matter if somebody like Tommy's been doing his tours for 25, 30 years and has built up a huge sort of amount of experience and knowledge about Dublin. They just see the word free and they go for that instead. So it is a reduction in standards right through.
Again, I would really cordially, you know, invite anyone, and certainly both of you gentlemen, to just come and take a look at our start point on any day at 11 a.m. And you'll see proof of a statistic that we measure regularly, which is that 80% of customers who come on one of our promoted free tours have never done any kind of tour before in their lives. Bike tour, bus tour, pub crawl, Segway tour, whatever. They're just not tour people, and they're not walking tour people.
They've been on one of your tours in Berlin or Amsterdam, or London. Well, they know the model. The very few who are our own repeat customers.
Absolutely. My point is that they are attracted to the free tour concept. Not because it's monetarily free. It's because it's risk-free. It's because they have the choice at the end to decide what the service was worth to them. We're all a little more risk-averse when we travel. You know, we're all a little bit worried about paying for a service that we don't know how it's going to be. We have that kind of, you know, fear, whether it's justified or otherwise, of being ripped off. The free tour removes that risk.
And
it gives them the choice.
David,
at the end.
Do you, in any of the 18 cities you operate in, from Berlin to Paris, Amsterdam, Dublin, know in Dublin you don't need a license and you don't pay the city authorities. This was how it came up almost tangentially last week. But is there any cities where you do need the license and do pay the city council?
Well, the licensing that doesn't always involve a payment to the city council.
No, I want to. Well, give me. That's my question.
There are countries which do have poor guide licensing laws, which, as was mentioned earlier, one of the things which the EU has decided to sort of, you know, ease out of the legal framework and their policy, because it, you know, it. The EU is supposed to be freedom of trade and freedom of speech, and all that kind of stuff. There are still tour guide licensing laws in Israel, for example, where we work with licensed guides in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, and there are still some tour guide licensing laws in France as well. The guides who we work with, some of them are licensed, some of them are not, but the licensing laws only refer to private and state museums and art galleries. It's absolutely free to guide on the street with or without a license.
Okay, said everything. 51551. John Rochford is contact. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What do you think of this business model?
Last year I course there for the tour guiding in Dublin. Now, it is actually supported by Fáilte Ireland. And we started it last April or thereabouts and went on till October. And you do a huge amount of project work and exams. And at the end of it, you after your exams, you have to go and do 10 tours with on board a coach or whatever. They have to be signed off by the individual tour operator. They're then submitted to Fáilte Ireland. And at the end of that, they'll then give you a badge. So it's quite a long, I suppose, procedure, and you're never going to make a fortune out of it.
How much did that course cost, John?
Roughly about 1,400, and then you have to get your insurance, and there was lots of other bits and pieces along the way. I'd say, look, about 1,800 overall.
And would you work for Sandymans? Well, you don't work for them, would you? What do you think of the Sandymans model?
Yeah, well, no, probably not. I probably don't want to go out there. I'd rather know before I go out, that there's some bit of work and some payment. I probably wouldn't work with the Sandymount, but it suits some people. It just wouldn't necessarily suit me.
Yeah, and that's absolutely your choice and your prerogative. You know, it doesn't work for everyone. I actually went on one of those tours.
And what was it like, John?
The girl who did it was really nice. I would have to say now, she was very, very pleasant, and I really enjoyed it.
I think we have to come back to this. Yeah. I think, sorry to interrupt, I think we have to come back to this issue of quality as well, because it's been mentioned before. It's I've, you know, the utmost respect for all tour guides, whether they're licensed officially, you know, by the state or whether they're not, and whatever kind of independent learning they've decided to do on their own. Let's be sure about one thing though, you know, licensed tour guide doesn't mean automatic quality, and certainly unlicensed.
We also did a lot about tour management as well, and how to deal with the large numbers. And
but I guess you
get a much broader view, I think, when you do the course.
I guess the point is that it doesn't just fit. The education of being a tour guide doesn't start and finish with the various courses and the tour management and the historical facts and information and things like that that have been learned. There's a lot more to it than that.
David, how many employees have Sandyman's got in Ireland at this stage?
Employees, I'm going to say it's going to be between 5 and 10.
Now, how many is it at the moment?
Yeah, at the moment it'll be between 5 and 10. That's your city manager, the general manager of the business, then the meeting point managers and the pub crawl leaders as well.
Susan Duffy. Susan, good afternoon.
Oh, hello, Joe.
You're listening to Dave.
Yeah, I'm actually a tour guide myself.
Yeah.
I specialise mainly in German groups, but I do walking tours and so on with English groups. And I know a couple of people who've worked for Sandy Mound and for that model. And I just wonder what... if you could tell us what his turnover is, because my experience is it's young people who think they're going to make money, but when they get into it, they don't make very little. They have to pay him, and you get very unreliable tours. It's certainly not a money earner for them, and I wonder what his turnover is like. Perhaps you'd like to tell us that. Not his financial, his staff turnover.
Yeah, if you mean the turnover of our freelance guides, you're right. They are not as sort of, you know, career tour guides as other guides in the industry. I would say that the average at the moment, thinking of our Dublin team, thinking of the English team to do tours in English and Spanish, but thinking of the English team, for example, I would say the average there is probably about one and a half years. Of how long the current...
But Susan, what is your allegation here? What are you saying, that there is a...
No, I haven't got... It's not an allegation as such. I'm just saying that it's a business model which I think hooks in young people who are a little bit naive, and then they find out it's not going to work out for them. I would not go out to work unless I knew I was going to be paid for it.
I need to clean up a few phone lines. Just say what is 51551 after the break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Susan, again, to come back to my question, do you know anyone you seem to believe that young people start the Sandyman's idea because they think they're going to get tips?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I know a couple of people have done it. Yeah.
And how long have they lasted?
Just a few months.
Why have they given up?
Because they don't earn enough. Sometimes they earn nothing on a tour, and you always have to pay for the privilege of going out and taking these people around, and then you have to hope you get tips. And I can tell you as a tour guide that people don't really tip much anymore. People keep their wallets closed pretty tightly these days.
So
an awful lot of people would be happy to have a free tour and not give you anything.
Would they? Yeah. So you have to be getting, your tip has to be greater than 250 per person, hasn't it?
Well, exactly.
I'm afraid it's just not our experience at all. Like I say, it just would not be the case that our average tour guide partner at the moment in Dublin has been with us well over 1 year. If this didn't work out, of course.
How many of your average tour guide partners are actually Irish? By the way, and I mean on your English language tours, not your Irish, because I know a lot of European students who've worked for you on the English language tours.
At the moment, I really want to say sort of 95%. I'm tempted to say 100% of our guide partners in English at the moment are from Ireland, and the majority of whom are from Dublin as well. Of course, it doesn't exclude other English, you know, language tour guides as long as they have the necessary quality from working.
But David, to come back to the money. Yeah. You're telling us you met the Irish Revenue Commissioners. And you said to them, we are going to...
We explained the business model, yes.
We're going to run tours. We're going to run free tours.
Free tours, yeah.
We don't collect money off the people who go on the tour, but we count the number of people who go on the tour, and then the person who runs the tour has to give us 250 per head.
Yeah.
Okay. And the revenue commissioner said, fine and dandy, off you go.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And why,
we've had similar discussions in the UK as well. I mean, if you think about it, it's not too different to purchasing other kind of, you know, business expenses or advertising services that you might do. If you're a freelance photographer, you may take an advert out in the Irish Independent, for example. And again, that's, you know, you hope that the cost of that advert, you know, is offset.
Yeah, but the person
is the revenue of that advertisement, of that normal business expense. It's a completely normal way to operate in the freelance and self-employed world.
No, but
we're being given a very rosy picture here, because that's not what I've heard from people who have done it, and they were happy to get out, in my experience. Generally, in the tour guiding business, we treat it as a profession here in Ireland. We take it seriously. I don't think people understand the amount of time and investment that goes into becoming a good tour guide, and we try to protect our standards here. And when we go out to do a job, we know that we're going to be paid for it. I mean, obviously,
again,
there's no law against it, but it's obviously going to drag standards.
But, by the way, David, is your tour guide allowed to tell the people on the tour, by the way, if you don't give me a tip, I still have to pay $250 to Sandymans?
Well, they would be.
Are they allowed to say that?
Well, it's not that they're. We don't control what they say. They would be. In my opinion, as a guide myself, having tour guided in Berlin and Munich in 2006 to 2008, I would never dream of saying anything like that.
Why not?
It's counterproductive. It's counterproductive as a guide. As soon as you try to place any kind of undue, which is, you know, psychological pressure on customers to tip, they respond as is their absolute right, and as you can well imagine, very badly to it.
If I do say it. What is the attitude of Sandymans?
Well, we would say, look, I don't think that's very productive, and we would see if that results in any customer complaints.
But would you drop the tour guide if they persistently said
No, not necessarily. I mean, if they did it repeatedly and they were doing it in a way which was placing an over pressure on the traveller to tip, then we would say, you know, then we would certainly rethink the business relationship.
Can I ask David a question?
But I've just got to mention something about, you know, something about quality as well, because it's just, I mean, quality is a subjective thing quite naturally. But the customers are extremely happy. You only have to go on TripAdvisor. We're lucky enough to be the top rated walking tour of Dublin activity with 3,500, you know, 5-star reviews on TripAdvisor.
Well, actually, to be honest with you, I don't think
the quality of the tours, I'm afraid, is there.
I don't think you can judge those kind of services on internet forums, because it's very easy to manipulate something like that.
Okay, Neil Doherty is in Dublin 4. Come in, Neil, and stay there, Susan. Go ahead, Neil.
Hello, Joe. Listen, I'm also a qualified tour guide, and like some of the other guys, I've done the course. I did the course to become a Dublin guide about 4 years ago.
And were you aware of the Sandymans model, which is...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I was aware of the Sandymans model, and indeed, I took one of their tours just out of curiosity to see what... And to be fair, the guide was good. I would just question, though, some of the accuracy of some of his figures, and this was where I would see that the quality as being an issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, also, Joe, these guys have to give a good tour, otherwise they don't get the tip. I think that's a kind of a big motivator for them. But I would just like to maybe come back to the issue of insurance, because as an insurance guide, if I'm working with clients, I must have an insurance policy. I must be covered as an individual guide on public liability insurance in case anything happens to these people when they're under my care. And I would just wonder if these free guides are paying for an insurance policy which covers them while the clients covers them for their clients when they're under their care.
Well, he said yes. He's already answered that, hasn't he, Neil? He said David said yes.
I think he was a bit hazy about it. He was talking about that they had an insurance policy, and I was very unclear as to whether their guides were actually completely covered for public liability when they are under the guidance of the guides. So I think David was very, very hazy on it. I think he skipped by it, and you didn't pursue him on it at the time.
No, I apologise. I can repeat it. There's nothing hazy about it. The company has a public liability insurance which covers the employees of the company, and also an umbrella insurance which covers the freelancers as well. Some of the freelancers. How many? I don't know.
No. Hang on, David. By the way, it's hardly an issue. I did pursue David, and David said the travellers. That was a phrase he used. The travellers are insured. You're now saying, David, they're not.
Yes, the travellers. Yeah. Well, it depends.
Are they insured by Sandymans?
They are insured for everything that a public liability insurance will cover. By Sandymans, yeah.
By Sandymans.
So why do the guides need their own individual insurance then if they're completely covered by the Sandyman policy?
Well, they don't.
Why would the guides go to the expense of paying, what, maybe 500, 600, 700 euros for a public liability insurance?
Because some of the guides, well, very many of the guides do work with other companies in and around Dublin and carry out other services for other companies.
So then these are qualified Fáilte Ireland guides. Is that what you're saying?
Sorry, can you repeat that? I missed it.
So these guys are saying they're doing work with other companies. I mean, my experience is that companies won't hire you in this city unless you are a qualified Fáilte Ireland guide. So you have to have done the course with Fáilte Ireland.
Some of them do. Some of them don't. Like I say, there's no legal requirement for guides to be licensed to perform tours in Dublin or in Ireland.
No, there isn't. But the companies won't employ them unless one, that they have a public liability insurance, which is said that these people have, but also two, unless they are qualified guides, unless they have completed the Fáilte Ireland tour badge course.
But David, you're adamant. One, you are insured. Two, that revenue are happy with this model.
Indeed, yeah, that's the information that we've been given, yeah.
Okay.
Well, Joe, that sounds to me like a fudge. Yeah. That's the information we've been given once again. So
that is the information that we've been given when we sat down with the revenue in 2009.
Yeah.
And that is the information that we're given by multiple legal advisors in Ireland, but also across the other 18 cities that we work in as well.
Okay. David O'Kelly, Neil Doherty, Susan Duffy and Tommy Graham. Thanks indeed. 51551. Phil, you're a you're a tour guide, where you're with Sandymans, which they run the free tours, as they're called. But what people I didn't know until today is that the guide on those free tours has to pay Sandymans €2.50 for every person on the tour, regardless of whether the person on the tour gives them a tip or not. But you think it's a great model?
Joe, I think it is. I think there's a lot of negativity there was about the free tours, but I think from a tour guide's perspective, I think it is a great business model. Most tour guides will tell you they don't earn much out there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them would be on minimum wage. A good tour guide can pull in tips. So if you're a good tour guide, you'll make the money. If you're a bad tour guide, you won't.
And why can't you just work for yourself instead of giving Sandymans when they take the photograph?
I don't work for anyone, Joe. Now I don't work for them. Now I have 10 years experience myself.
You think that model incentivizes guides to try and get tips and i.e. make
it
the tour
indeed,
better?
It does indeed, because I've worked with guys, Joe, and if they're just getting paid a minimum wage, they'll come in, do a basic tour, go home at the end of the day.
But if
you give me the incentive that I'm going to get more money and do a great tour and put everything in and all the passion, I'm going to come out with a lot more tips, then the guide will be the winner in the end. But if it's not for you after a couple of weeks, you know you're not able to do it or you're not up to it, then don't do it. It's not for you. But
I'm over time, Phil. Thanks indeed. That's Phil in Westmeath. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Emma Laffin produced. Derek Mooney is next.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.